New Frontiers. We've been opening doors for thousands of centuries across space, galaxies, oceans, and science, medicine, and in every imaginable frontier. Yet, there's always been a mystery. It's always been a matter of deep, fascinating curiosity. How a mind works, how capabilities are formed, when does talent form? Yet, there's something that is still waiting to be discovered, that is core, innate, and personal to every individual. In this podcast, I bring to you the secrets of personal evolution, as a creator of a technology that's pioneering the science to design and accelerate the frontier of personal evolution. Welcome to Solo Voice, taking you places where no one has gone before. Can you predict the future? We all try to. Planning is all about anticipating the probability of what could come true in the days to come. In fact, a long time ago I read a book called The 2 Second Advantage that spoke about how experts, geniuses, outliers in their field kind of know 2 seconds ahead of what is going to happen. Now, this is not like fortune telling or prophecy or a vision. It's more to do with probability. It's an expert who has seen patterns, who understands people, who understands the things about them, about the people around them, and sees what's going to happen. And in the book, he talks about how in sports, some of the best players can predict and anticipate where the opponent team is going to come in the next 2 seconds and thereby be ahead moments before they're even there. We used to do this like 7-8 years ago. We used to teach people on how to inoculate objections 2 seconds before it comes to the awareness of the person they're talking with. Because the thing about unconscious patterns is that if you know what to look for, you get to predict where a person is going to go kind of a few seconds before the person themselves know. And then you can object, you can inoculate, you can interrupt, you can lead in new directions. But what is much more fascinating to me is predictive intelligence of knowing what something is going to happen a year or two ahead, and strategically preparing and doing simple things that don't look as significant when you look at it the present and the impact it creates now as much as what it does a year or two later. And that is predictive intelligence. Think about what Nelson Mandela did. When you look back and connect the dots, it sounds so easy to understand. But he's in charge of a country. He has to make a million decisions. He has to know what is important for the nation. Everything he decides to do means something else that he's deciding not to do. And in the midst of that, he chooses to put his attention on rugby, a sport. Wow, what a brilliant stroke. History says that that helped unite the nation, bridge the gap between the white and the black. But how did he know he would do it this way? How did he know that his country would win the world champion? How did he know it would create a sense of pride and unity? That's predictive intelligence. If you were in his position, would have you put your attention on this sport? It was not about sport. When people say, you know, sport unifies people, it's not about sport. He didn't choose cricket or something else. He chose something based on the practical reality of what his nation needed to unite. It's not about marathon or chess or any other sport. It's a demonstration of knowing your strengths. It's a demonstration of knowing how to leverage it. It's a demonstration of knowing psychology. It's the demonstration of knowing what gets people together. It's a demonstration of risking everything you've got, because you know that when they all come together, it's going to create a great result. So when people were preparing to win the rugby tournament, nobody would have imagined that it's going to unite people. I mean, would have they felt a sense of pride winning the world championship? Yes. Would have they felt a sense of achievement while they were practicing? Yes. But that's not even close compared to the fact that it united the entire nation. And you look at what happened 5 years from then and look back. It's kind of like what Jeff Bezos did. He launched Amazon as a bookstore, but in his heart, he knew, he predicted, he had the predictive intelligence to know that Amazon is going to be an everything store. Well, is it a great thing to be the number one book-selling shop online? Yes, but not close as what Amazon is today. But he knew it right from the beginning. And that, my friend, is called strategy. You cannot have strategy without knowing what's going to happen in the future, without having a guess, a probable guess of what might happen. Because it's not great things that make a great future. It's significant, but maybe small steps in the right direction that create a great future. You may have already heard the story of how I helped Harini perform 10 new songs for the first time in her life in Music Academy in front of a group of audience without carrying her lyrics book. And for her, that was a wonderful moment, a moment of magic, because she's always grown up with the belief that singers need to carry their lyrics book. And for her to perform and be anywhere on the stage and move with elegance and grace as she sang so soulfully and beautifully is a new sense of freedom. I can teach people how I did that. Any good NLP specialist can do that. But what is significant about what happened then is not only the way she felt in the stage, the freedom she experienced, but what happened after that. When she went back to recording and studios, to the same music directors that she had worked with, they started telling her that now you're getting it quicker and there's more something that you're bringing in. Well, we didn't work on more something. We worked on her remembering lyrics. But that's how predictive intelligence works. You know that something that you do is significant, but it's even greater when it compounds with what this person is going to create with it. It's like the butterfly effect. It's like a butterfly flapping its wings somewhere can be the cause of a hurricane somewhere else. And the same thing can happen with your evolution, with your family, with your businesses. And that is protective intelligence. And in this podcast, I really want to talk to you about what are some ways in which you can autopilot predictive intelligence. Most often when parents bring their teenagers to me and they're really puzzled as to, oh my God, they just changed, like 6 months ago they were a different person. We do help the teens to connect with their parents very differently. And I often tell them that who you see in your teenager today is an outcome of the things they learned when they were 8 years or younger. And not necessarily everything they learned are things that they learned from you. And parents are most times puzzled. They think it has to do with biology and chemical and hormonal changes. Yes, that's true. There's a lot to do with what happened with their biology. But there's also a lot more to do with patterns that have been forming. So be it business, family, parenting, whatever it is, predictive intelligence gives you the ability to know what's going to happen. Maybe with a person, maybe with a business. Now, we all anticipate, but not all of us anticipate and evolve our capability to anticipate, to plan, to predict the future. So one of the challenges that I've seen with most people who, in my opinion, have very poor predictive intelligence in the areas where they think they have high predictive intelligence is a prison that they get stuck in, known as circular beliefs. And a circular belief works like this. The person predicts something is going to come true. And they're in the habit of predicting things. They're in the habit of, this business is going to crash. Oh, this business is going to go up. Oh, this is going to happen. Oh, this person is going to do this. Oh, this is what's going to happen. And a lot of people do that. That's okay. But what is not okay is they ignore all the times the prediction didn't come true. And they only emphasize to themselves every time something that they said came true. Now think about this. Even a donkey, if it were to throw a dice up in the air randomly, 1 in 6 times it's going to get the same number again and again and again and again. So when a person does this, what happens is that they form a belief, an inaccurate belief that they know, they're intuitive about this particular outcome, about a person, about a thing, while they're actually not. So then it locks them into a circular belief. They think they're intuitive about something, but they actually aren't. And then they start making wrong judgments. And worse, if they're in a position of influence or authority, they make their incorrect conclusions coming true by the influence they have on people around them. And this is the most scariest thing that can happen, is people with influence and zero predictive intelligence and who think they have great predictive intelligence are like the dangerous thing that can happen, because they don't even know when they're wrong because it just doesn't go through their filters. Now, you might think, oh, that can't be. I mean, who wouldn't notice when they're wrong? Well, most people don't. Most people, when they believe that their predictive intelligence is absolutely in place, now they may not call it predictive intelligence, they might think of it as a particular type of intuition, wouldn't know when things didn't turn out the way they predicted, because they're only looking at the things that turned out true that they predicted. So what's the solution? The solution is very simple. If you want to really improve predictive intelligence, you have to capture all the data. Like, let's say you meet 100 people who are paralyzed and you tell all of them, hey, you know what? I think that you're going to be able to walk again. And if 5 of them walk again, and in your head, you only see those 5 people who walked again, it might make a great story. You can go and tell your friends, hey, you know what? I told this guy he'll walk again and he walked again. But I think if you can capture all the data, and remember, not everybody is trained on data, on being systematic with data. So if you haven't organized your memory to be able to capture all of the data, or if there is a risk, or if you don't know whether you have organized your memory that way or not, the simplest thing to do is make a detailed log, make a detailed entry, make a detailed record keeping, so you can go back and check what's happening with the things that you predicted. This is why Haruni and I gave unlimited revisits to our participants when we were doing our initial NLP certification programs, much before we developed EID. We would give participants like, come back, it's free, it's unlimited, and we'll put all the effort and energy all over again to help you get to the next level. And partly because we wanted to see them. We had a guess. We did this work for them. We wanted to see what's the butterfly effect. Is our guess accurate? And we didn't want to just hear from the people who gave us testimonials and who connected back and saying, oh my God, my life has changed. We wanted to capture every single person. Because then you know your accuracy. And when you know and measure your accuracy, you can improve it. So maybe you want to design your life experiences. Maybe you're a singer. Maybe you're a recording artist. Maybe you're a sports person. Maybe you're an athlete. Maybe you're a news anchor. Maybe you're an actor. Maybe you're a director. One of the things that you want to develop is predictive intelligence. You want to be able to design your work and life experiences in such a way that you get to see what is the long-term impact of it across time. You're able to measure, you're able to allow that. And also it's important that you're able to allow that to go into your unconscious, because there's conscious measurement and there's unconscious measurement. And I think autopiloting predictive intelligence is all about allowing things to be so natural that it just keeps going into you. And you automatically, just by the virtue of what you are doing, you have designed your context and you've designed the setup in such a way that just by the virtue of what you're doing, you get better and better and better at predictive intelligence. And I think every individual in what they want to master, in what they want to be the best in the world at, has to invest in developing predictive intelligence and actually autopiloting predictive intelligence. You can actually design your life in a way that gets you the experiences and the validation that is necessary for your unconscious to autopilot your predictive intelligence in that context. And for me, I think you can have predictive intelligence in any area. But I think one of the most important areas to have predictive intelligence is to know how a person evolves. Who will this person be a year from now, two from now? Mm-hmm. And truly, that's what a great leader is about. A great leader is not someone who gets a job done. A great leader is someone who can anticipate, see a person's trajectory and help them evolve. Those are the skills of world leaders. Those are the capabilities that world leaders have contributed to the world in unprecedented ways. And it can start with your own family if you can know how people in your family are shaping up. If you can know how people in your family are evolving. I've seen children with predictive intelligence beautifully shape the old age of their parents, making sure that they don't get retired, making sure they're still active, making sure they're still learning, making sure they still have a young spirit and they feel like they're still contributing to the world. Children, if you have parents, the most valuable gift you can give them is a sense that they're still useful. They want to work. I mean, I know as children, sometimes people have this opinion that let my parent just stay at home and, you know, let her not do any work, let him not do any work, let him just take rest and I'll take care of everything. Hello. They don't want to be taken care of. They want to be useful. They want to be stimulated. So how can you design life experiences, learning experiences for them that will allow them to create that reality for themselves? Predictive intelligence with children, predictive intelligence with spouse. I know a family where the lady actually predicted that her husband is going to get a promotion and he's not ready for it. So she insisted that he take up certain activities and poof, in 6 months when he got that double promotion, he was actually ready for it. Instead of going unprepared, that's what family does. They help each other evolve. That's why parents, when you're born, they think about who you would be 10 years from now. They think about the school. They engineer their life around who you would become and what kind of ecosystem you need. We all try to do that, but I think accuracy and predictive intelligence will be most rewarding in your family. And you don't have to learn this with your family. You can start learning predictive intelligence by evolving the people around you much before you become responsible for the people in your family. When we tell people that they can launch their legacy in 2-3 years and instead of 10 or 20 years, the promise is founded on predictive intelligence, on our ability to know what things a person can develop today that will have a compound effect 2 years from now. And that's part of the reason why when people come to EID Education and they want to learn excellence installation technology, some people take 2 years, some people take 5 years. And based on where they start, we tell them, well, EID is going to be 5 years for you. And coaches, when they come to learn EID, they're puzzled. They're like, hey, I've got this international certification. I've learned or I've finished all my levels. So why can I not learn EID within 2 years and make a difference and impact the way I have known excellence installation specialists to make an impact? And the reason is very simple. Predictive intelligence requires mastery in the area that you're helping the person. It requires artistry in the area. You got to know all about it in order for you to intuitively predict where something is going to go wrong, where something is going to create an opportunity that's unprecedented. And for people who take 5 years, we tell them the first 2-3 years has to do with helping you become a master. Not at coaching, not at installations, but at an industry that you already have exposure to. At something else where you can develop mastery and artistry. And in our experience in helping people develop predictive intelligence about evolving people, we've noticed that if someone has predictive intelligence across 3 industries at a minimum, then something known as cross-mapping begins to happen. And cross-mapping is something that happens with geniuses all the time. It allows them to take something that they learn in one and apply it in another. And you know cross-mapping is happening when they spontaneously come up with metaphors and it's measurable. It's when there's an integration happening in the brain where the mid region is super excited and active in the context where they're able to cross-map. And cross-mapping happens naturally for geniuses. And it can be developed for people. And I'm going to talk a lot more about that in another episode. But one of the things we look for is we help people develop artistry, mastery in at least 2-3 contexts to the point that it naturally enables them to develop cross-mapping, specifically with predictive intelligence. And then the beautiful thing happens. Then they can work with a person in the areas they have no clue about until then, and yet be able to develop a complete understanding to the point that they have predictive intelligence in that domain. This is why EID education takes time, because some people need to develop mastery in 2-3 areas from the beginning. They might be like a senior manager, they might even be a director of a company, but they aren't outliers yet. They don't have the ability to do predictive intelligence in their field. And we've also had people who are outliers, and they're at a director or a VP level, and they have predictive intelligence when it comes to people in a particular type. When it comes to people of a particular nature, they have predictive intelligence in a particular domain. For them, it's easy. It's in about a year's time, you help them develop predictive intelligence in two other areas. And then very soon, it's cross-generalized. They have cross-mapping. And they're able to bring in predictive intelligence into domains that they may not have had exposure until then. So does coaching work? Do you always need predictive intelligence? Can you not be an expert on something and still help people? You can't. Absolutely. There are a lot of NLP procedures. There are a lot of coaching frameworks that will allow you to help a person without absolutely having any idea about that person's industry or their background. You could work at a pure process level. You can help the person get high performance. You can help them make better decisions without having any idea. But that doesn't produce time compression. The way time compression can be enabled in a person's journey, the way 10 years can be made 2-3 years, the way 2-3 years can be made 6 months, when you can bring predictive intelligence into the equation. And that's what makes EID different. And that's what makes predictive intelligence different from pure process helping a person. So organizations have structures, they have processes, they have setups, they have systems so that people can, and every organization innovates so that the HR can set up things in the organization that gets them into a higher performance mode. But that is the beginning. That's the bare necessity. What coaching brings to a person is the bare necessity. If you can't help someone, you know, get high performance, why are you even talking about capability building? That's the beginning. But there's a layer better than that. There's predictive intelligence, where you are bringing your intuition. And the beautiful thing about predictive intelligence is not all the time it's a conscious thing. Not every time can you tell a person, hey, this is what is going to go wrong. And thereby, you got to do this. But sometimes you just go and tell a person, hey, you know what? Do this. And if you have the relationship with them where they trust you, where they think that what you're saying is important, they might do it. And after a year, both of you might realize, oh my God, when I asked you to do this, we didn't even know that this is what was going to happen. And this is what we were preparing for. And I can think of countless marriages that have gotten saved because we were able to predict something was going to go wrong ahead of time. Lives that are saved because we were able to predict the trajectory of somebody. There are also the times where I didn't have the relationship with somebody where I could tell them, hey, don't do that. You're going to go bankrupt. And even though Harini and I have told that person not to do something and they went ahead and did it and then went bankrupt. But at least we had the relationship to help them come back again because they came back and we were able to fix it for them. So predictive intelligence is helpful not only when you have it, but also when you have a relationship with someone where you can help them make a better decision. And in our case, with the Hari and me, we don't go. But when you have a relationship with someone where you can help them make a decision, and that's why we screen our participants. We ask them, do you absolutely commit to 3 years of continuous investment into this journey? Because if you don't have that relationship, it's going to be a waste of time for everybody. But I think the predictive intelligence is not just for other people. It's also from other people to you. The most beautiful thing that have happened in my life have come from things that I didn't know are important for me, but someone else thought it was important for me, and then they pushed me to do it. They pushed me in that direction. Like I remember when I did this thing on Harini, she was like, hey, if this is so powerful, why are you not like making it available to everybody in the world? And I'm like, well, see, I'm an IT guy. And also, I don't like to teach people these things. I would rather build a program or a computer software that can do these things for people. But Harini kept pushing. She started pushing me to work with people. Even when I worked with Funny Kumar, yes, I did put all the efforts to find, you know, help for him, and thought, even if I can't, let someone else do it. But when John Grinder decided, but much before that, Harini was pushing me to say, hey, why don't you work with him? Why don't you see what is possible? It's happened in every single occasion. Like, I remember that I joined this music class and I was singing this, I was learning how to sing from this person called Kove Sasikumar. And he found out that I have a form of saturated sinus, which is like, you know, there are some areas in my head that I have filled with something like dry phlegm, and not totally dry, but not wet enough for them to flow out. And he noticed that there are certain tones that I couldn't produce, and there were certain nasal sounds that were repeatedly coming because of those things. So he put me on a strict regime. Like, I used to do hours of breathing exercises, and it was miraculous because you could actually, like doing it for like half an hour, and then you don't notice anything, and then you do it for an hour, and suddenly you see this phlegm that you didn't know was there, like just coming out and clearing your head, and the sound would change. And there came a point where I could feel a significant leap in my voice, like a
you fill up my senses.
Now, I could do that. Well, earlier I would have done something like, you fill up my senses. And he calls it a lazy voice. What it really was, an inability to hit the note straight without dancing like you're drunk. And most people used to think that I'm making fun. And for me, that was significant. And I'm like, wow, I've got this. And that's it. I stopped all the breathing exercises. I stopped, you know, I barely went to class, and I would just go to class on time, and I would wait for it to finish. And because I'm satisfied, I'm happy. Thank you. I'm not looking at being the world-class singer. I'm looking at, you know, casual singing. And I think I've got what I need. And from here, I can take it forward. But Harini was pissed off. Harini was angry. She's like, what the hell are you doing? She's like, why are you wasting all the capabilities that Sasi has done for you? Don't you recognize what he's done for you? And I'm like, I recognize. I can sing the song in a tolerable way. And she's like, when did your standards go so low? From my point of view, my standards have come up, you know, like from I'm singing at least neat notes. But for her, she was seeing something that is possible strategically 2 years from now because of this development, if I continue to put the efforts. So that I thought, if Sasi wants me to have a world-class singing voice, and if there's a mentor who could do that for me, and who's effective, who's proving the results in hours if he's showing transformation, what's my business not changing my standards? So I changed my standards. Now, you have to know that, do I know why this is important? Why, in addition to the 4 hours, why I need to put more time into this? No. But what I do know is this, that with predictive intelligence, sometimes you know something is important. And it's in the future, you connect the dots and you figure out why it was important. Like when I started learning neuro-linguistic programming, when I went as a 22-year-old, taking all the money I have and going around the world, meeting people and investing them into a passion like neuro-linguistic programming, I had no clue that I would be doing what I'm doing today. I have no idea what all of this is going to lead to, but I know in my heart that it's calling me. And I know that Harini is intuitive and very intuitive, and that every single time she's pushed me to do something, it's always compounded to newer results. And I think this is the best gift that you can ask for, is that you have people around you who are filled with predictive intelligence, that sometimes they raise your standard, that they see something you got to develop that will complete your rarity, that will make you more rare and special and unique in what you do. And that's something I'm going to talk about in another podcast, about rarity completion. And that doesn't mean that you go around picking your friends based on, oh, you can be my friend because you have predictive intelligence. But I think it doesn't work that way, right? But I think what you can do is know to discern that there are sometimes you get suggestions from people who are saying what they're saying because it's good for their situation. If you were in their situation, it would have been a good recommendation. But sometimes they're saying what they're saying because they know you. They know your strengths, your limitations, and they could see 2 years from now what this little suggestion can do for you. So if you can develop that ability, then I think you will have people around you who will be contributing with predictive intelligence. It's like there are two types of people. People who can help you with the present. There are some people who can help you with the present and the future. And I think one of being wise is knowing the second type who have predictive intelligence. That the things they say may not at that moment sound as exciting as the other things that you can develop in you as a capability. But in the long term, it provides like 1,000 times more satisfaction. And for your own self, figure out, what do you do? What is that thing where it's worth committing 10,000 hours, where you are good, but you can be a genius? And how can you set up and design the things in your life so that you have predictive intelligence on autopilot? And for those of you who feel you already are good at something to the point you have predictive intelligence, maybe it's time to build predictive intelligence in 2 or 3 other contexts. Because when your predictive intelligence gets cross-mapping, then you will have predictive intelligence even on things that you didn't know before. I'm reminded of this story that I heard when I was a child about a man who was walking in the forest and he saw someone cutting the tree, sitting on the tree. And he was sitting on a branch of the tree and he was sitting on the side that is outside from the tree and he was cutting the branch. And he looked at this man and he said, hey, if you continue to cut the tree, the branch in that way, when the branch falls, you're going to fall with it. And this man said, oh, no, I don't think I'll fall. You mind your business. And so the guy left and this guy continued to cut that branch. And since he was sitting on the branch, on the side of the branch that was getting cut, when the branch was cut, he fell down with the branch. And he ran, he found this other guy and he said, oh my God, you're such a genius. How did you know that I was going to fall? How did you know that? How could you know? And anyone with a little sense of logic would know that, right? But the thing is, predictive intelligence often feels like that. It feels like, how could have you known? But if you know the subject well enough, if you can look at it from all aspects, and if you can involve your unconscious mind to assimilate on the data, on the evidences, on the things that are coming, that are much more than what you can consciously process, then predictive intelligence is just another logical conclusion that is as simple to make as, hey, don't sit on that side of the branch when you're cutting it. So go make it. And the good thing about the fact that it's a logical conclusion. So the good thing about the fact that it's a logical conclusion is you don't have to ask yourself questions of, am I born with it? Am I the person who has predictive intelligence? But rather you ask, how do I set it up that whatever is my degree of predictive intelligence, that I put it on autopilot so that it gets better day by day? And what are other areas in my life where I can bring in predictive intelligence?
Oh, when your predictive intelligence goes ahead and shapes your life for you. Oh, when your predictive intelligence goes ahead and shapes your life for you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, and this is one idea taken from validated life experiences while developing the cutting-edge technology of excellence installation, where we help people design and fast-track their personal evolution in compressed time. Because with excellence installations, you accelerate up, launch your legacy, autopilot, predictive intelligence, map family evolution, and be installation genius, while you develop superior capabilities of world leaders in compressed time. And then again, excellence installations, you accelerate up, launch your legacy, autopilot, predictive intelligence, map family evolution, and be installation genius, while you develop superior capabilities of world leaders in compressed time.
When your predictive intelligence goes ahead and shapes your life for you.
You know, there are certain things in life when it gets done, you want to do it all over again. This is Solo Voice, taking you places where no one has gone before. My name is Antonus Olajuwon. I'll see you soon in the next episode.